So let's take a look at this week's parasha, Parshas Tetzaveh. So we are looking at the continuation of the building of the Mishkan and the Kelim and the Big Day Kohuna. So we know that involved in the building of the Mishkan are many items made out of different materials. Cloth. So the pasuk tells us that they use different meaning, different species, different types of cloth. Wool dyed in various colors, dyed in blue, dyed in violet, dyed with a telat shoni, a scarlet worm, dyed all different colors, and sheish and pishtah. Now, have you ever wondered why it is that we find in the Mishkan all types of precious materials used, gold, silver, beautiful stones? Why do we not find any use of a precious cloth? There's a very expensive and exclusive type of material called silk. So why is there no use of silk anyway in the Mishkan? Okay. So you might say to me, what sort of question is that? Who says you can ask a question like that? I mean, maybe they don't have silk worms anyway. And maybe everything in the Mishkan is surely very deep. Deep in Yonim, there's some deep reason for each thing. Why it has to be like this? Why it has to be like that? What sort of question is this to ask why they didn't use silk? Obviously, silk is not the right thing. But this question is not my question. It's the question of one of the Rishonim, the Pirushim al HaTorah, the question of Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai deals with this question. He wants to know, why did they not use silk anywhere in the Mishkan? Let's have a look what he says. So the second thing on the sheet, V'loi matzinu meshi benidvas ha-mishkan. So we do not find any usage of silk in the items donated to the Mishkan. Why? Lefi yishu yotze migup ha-sheretz. You know why not? Because you can't use it. Halachically, it's not suitable.
What about chalazim?
Oh, that's exactly what I want to talk about. What about lots of other things? He said, well, you can't use it because it's produced from a sheretz. It comes from the silk worm, right? Silk worm. Shua toilas. It's a type of worm. And one can only use for malechet shamayim for items needed for shamayim, obviously including all the raw materials used for the Mishkan. The raw materials for the Mishkan can only be made up out of the borim tohirin. Okay, inyan sha'omru b'tachash. Exactly as they say regarding tachash. What do they say regarding tachash? So the Gemara actually discusses, was tachash a kosher animal or not? Was it tohoira or was it tumeira? And the Gemara discusses, in one stage of the sugya, the Gemara discusses this point, that it must have surely been tohoira, because otherwise why was it used for the, how could it have been used for the Mishkan? Now it is not 100% clear what is the conclusion of that sugya. There's a little bit of a lengthy discussion, we're not going to go into it today, but the Gemara is unclear. Whether that point, which the Gemara brings as an argument that it must have been Tohar, because otherwise you cannot use it in the Mishkan, whether that point stands in the Maskana or not. Whether it is certain that you can only use a Dovot Tohar for the Mishkan. This Rabbeinu Bachai understands that that point, the Gemara mentions it in the earlier stage in the Sugya, and it remains in the Maskana as well. Everything used in the Mishkan must have been tohar, therefore the tachash must have been tohar, and by extension, says Rabbeinu Bachai, we also could not have used meshi in the Mishkan, because everything in the Mishkan has to be from a davar tohar. That is the opinion of Rabbeinu Bachai. He understands that that is the conclusion of the sugya. Like the tachash was tohar, it needed to be tohar, because otherwise it can't be used in the Mishkan, and everything else also has to be tohar. Well, let's have a little look. And we'll see, first of all, before we look at some kashas on this chitta, that first of all, it's a machloekes rishoyim. This is the opinion of Rabbeinu Bachai, but we will see that not everybody agrees with this. The Gemara, in the sugya in Shabbos, which discusses this, when it comes towards the end of the sugya, says the words, Loi hukshru bimleches shamayim, ela ur behema tohoira bilvav. One can only use in the Leches Shamayim that which comes from Behemoth Tohoira. And the Gemara says, what does this practically pertain to? And the Gemara says the tefillin. It pertains practically to the tefillin. We can only use for our tefillin skins that come from a behemoth tohu.
Wasn't it the shamir that the worm that used to?
That's something else. The shamir was used to cut stone. Wasn't? They didn't actually use its goof in anything in the Mishnah. We're going to look at other similar passages to that. Says the Rashba on this line that the meaning of the question of the Gemara is, when the Gemara asks this statement that we can only use in Meleches Shamayim, Devarim Tzaharim, what is it referring to? And the Gemara says it's referring to Tefillin. Says the Rashba that this statement in the Gemara is meant to the exclusion of Meleches HaMishkan. The Gemara means to say by this, it asks, for what does it pertain to, this rule that one cannot use for Meleches Shamayim, only Dvarim Tzaharim, and it answers that it pertains to Tefillin. It means to say, to the exclusion of other mitzvahs, to the exclusion of, for example, Meleches HaMishkan, says the Rashba. In the Mishkan, we were not required to use only Dvarim Tzaharim. This rule isn't a general rule. The Gemara asks, what does it pertain? And it answers something specific. It pertains to Tefillin. It doesn't pertain to every mitzvah under the sun, and included in that is it doesn't pertain necessarily to the Mishkan. It is true that maybe the Gemara's conclusion is that Tachash was Torah. So happens it was Torah. One could have used also a Dovah Tomei in principle. There is no principle that you cannot use for the Mishkan a Dovah Tomei. So that is the opinion of the Rashba, who's being choleg with the Rabbeinu Bachai, which we started with. Rabbeinu Bachai, we started with, understands that one can only use a Dovah Tohir for the Mishkan. The Rashba takes out from the conclusion of the Gemara, not like that, that one can use even Dvarim Tomei for the Mishkan. There's no general rule, Lo Yehuta Nimleches Shamayim, only Dvarim Tohir. The Gemara says, what does it pertain to? It pertains to Tzvillin. But other mitzvahs, Mishkan included, one can use a Dovah Tomei.
Could be a stool, it's not the actual animal,
but same way
as the skin of the other animal. It just comes from
the producer. Normally, the Derech Klal, Yotzim and Atomi
Tomi. Right. So, but does it actually come from the actual animal or sins
it? I don't really know in truth. Maybe else can fill us in the exact way how the silkworm, how does it work?
It's like a spider's web.
Excretes.
Right, but the actual material, what's it produce?
It excretes this thing.
It should be. Okay. It should be the dinner against him and our Tommy. So that's the machloek between Rabbeinu Bachai and the Rashi. Now, let's look, before we turn to some other shaklim and tariyah, let's look at one particular practical nafkamina of this masloikas. Masloikas is when the Gemara says in the conclusion of the Gemara that Loihushel and Leches Shamayim only a Dovah Torah, is it only referring to Tefillin? Or is it a general rule also Meleches HaMishkan? And if it's a general rule also Meleches HaMishkan, it's maybe also other mitzvahs as well. Maybe it's not a general rule. Or is it only Tefillin like the Rashba? So there's another case which could be a nafkamina. What about shofar? Right, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah makes a statement: "Kol ha-shofar is ksherim, chut mishal para." I think all shofars are ksherim except one or two species. What does it mean? All shofars are ksherim.
The reason is because that's not a proper shofar.
Yeah. That's not a proper shofar. Fine. But what does it mean when it says all shofars are ksherim? What about if we can find some shofar that comes from a min tomei? Will it also be kosher? Or not? So that question exactly depends on these same two tzedakim. Is it a general rule you cannot use a Meleches Shamayim only a Dovah Tohar? It doesn't just apply to Tefillin, which the Gemara says at the end of the sugya. It applies also to the Mishkan, like Rabbeinu Bachai, and then maybe it also applies to other mitzvahs too. Or maybe the Gemara in its Maskana means to limit this rule only to Tefillin, like the Rashba. So in fact, this question is a topic in the run in Rosh Hashanah. The run in Rosh Hashanah leaves this matter as a topic. Let's look at it inside. Esher d'dafke b'tzohayrim, fifth thing on the sheet, Esher d'dafke b'tzohayrim, avol b'tzmein loy. Maybe we can only use the shofar from a tohu, not from a dovah tohu. Tohu, we need to prepare it for my mother meeting, because the Gemara says, One can only use for Melechet Shomayim a double Torah. The Shoyfer Melechet Shomayim. And Shoyfer Melechet Shomayim, so we can only use a double Torah. Omiru. Lav Rai Gamuri. However, it is not as certain that this is a Rai. To Hosom, the Perigma, the Vikin Mashba, the Mishkan Gufa, Loigami, and the Aigle of Shum Melechet Shomayim. That the Mishkan is not included in this rule of Lehoshul and Nechas Shamayim. And a Dovah Torah. So if the Mishkan is not included, maybe other things are also not included. Alephichach, it says in the last line, a Dovah Torah to give. So that's another, that would be a practical napkimina nowadays of this child. That should mention that actually the Ramah, the Shofar, says, Halacha Lamaisa, one should be machmir about this. One should not use a Shofar from a Dovah Tomei. Whether it's Shiach or not, but one shouldn't use a shofar from a double time. Now let's come back and look at a couple of other questions on this shittim. The shittim of Rabbeinu Bachai, who says that one cannot use for the Mishkan only a dovor tohor. And he says that that is the reason why there is no appearance of meshi of silk anywhere in the Mishkan. So let's look at two other questions.
Can you just jump just for a second?
Yeah.
It's all told me. Shofar's taken off the animal when it's dead, even a vela.
Yeah.
There's the vela, that doesn't fall in the category of tomei.
Exactly. The vela doesn't fall in the category of dovah tomei. Yeah. So the mashal we can use for our tefillin, even the vela doesn't have to be shofar, but it does have to be for a min tomei. So this question, this would apply if we would find a min tomei that has a sort of horn,
yeah,
and we would want to use it as a shofar.
Yeah.
Not from a vela, it wouldn't be relevant. So let's turn back to two questions on the opinion of Rabbeinu Bachai. We can only use Devarim Tohoyim. So there are two things we find openly used in the Melechus HaMishkan which don't appear to be a Dovah Tohoyim. One of them is the scarlet dye. The Torah mentions a number of times this Toilas Shoni, which sounds like a red, sort of red worm, which is used then to dye different items, different types of cloth, used to dye with this dye which is produced from a red worm. A red worm is not a dovah tohor. That's one shayla. Second shayla, what about chilozin? Chilozin is also not a dovah tohor. It's a type of snail or something. It's not a dovah tohor. How do we use it in the Melechus HaMishkan according to the opinion of Rabbeinu Bachai? So let's look at these two kashas. So one of them, the first one, the question of the Toilas Shani, the scarlet dye produced from a worm, Rabbeinu Bachai himself asked the kasha. And he says as follows, the Tzema HaToilas HaShani, the scarlet thread, Eino Miguf HaToilas. The truth is, it doesn't come from the worm itself. And in Toich Garim SheToilas B'Toichom, there are types of little balls, little particles, which this worm is found amongst these particles, and it's these particles that one makes the red dye from. It isn't from the worm itself, it's some sort of little pieces that are found along with the worm, but it isn't the worm itself. We need to know exactly where do those pieces come from, but
that's what I wanted to ask.
What is the material? Is where do they come from? But and in fact, the exact same thing is written in the Rambam as well. The Rambam, not in this context, in the Halachos of Korah Aduma, also discusses what does it mean, toilas, in the Torah. And he says that this toilas, it doesn't mean a worm. It means little particles of something, small, red little pieces that are found along with this worm. So it's not a Dovah Tomei at all. That answers one of these cases. The Torah Tumimah quotes this Rambam and Rabbeinu Bachai, and he asks them a kasha. You know, what does the Torah Tumimah normally do? Every posuk in the Torah where he finds some comment of Chazal on that posuk, he quotes it and sometimes expands, gives us some further information. So over here on this Toilas Shoni, he quotes a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says the Toilas says makes the following statement. Ma toilas dovor sheyesh bo'iruach chayim. Ah, kol dovor sheyesh bo'iruach chayim. So Ritzvimi explains this to mean, Matoilat sheyeshbo ruach chayim, exactly like a worm is a live creature. One can use this live creature, the worm, or any other live creature which produces the same red color. Okay. Isn't only this particular red worm, the Rishami is marbe, other creatures that produce the same red color. So be it. Al Kolponim says the Peretz Mima that we see in the Yerushalmi that the Toilas, Ma Toilas, Dovor Shiyesh Bei Ruach Chaim. The red color is produced from this worm, which is a Dovor Shiyesh Bei Ruach Chaim. Not like the Rambam and Rabbeinu Bachai are telling us that it's produced from some sort of small red particles which are found along with the worm. It's produced from a Baal Chai. And that then brings us back to the question that the Baal Chai is surely not a Dovah Torah. Baal Kolponim asks the Teretz Mima, the Persian Yerushalmi, not like the Rambam and Rabbeinu Bachai. Yerushalmi is telling us that the Toilas was produced from a Baal Chai. So says the Teretz Mima that you know what? It could be that the Rambam and Rabbeinu Bachai were aware of this pirush of the Yerushalmi. It goes the other way around. It's true as they state in the Yerushalmi. They were aware of this Yerushalmi. But they understood that since the Bavli, since our Gemara, according to their understanding, requires us only to use a Dovah Tahir in Melechus Shomayim, they concluded that the Bavli will understand that Teilas Shoni is something else. It's true the Yerushalmi says it was from this worm, and maybe the Yerushalmi holds that you can't use another tummy. Maybe. But since they paskin, based on their understanding of the Sugya and the Bavli, that one cannot use a Dovor tummy, so because of that they concluded that we're going to have to say that this Teilas Shoni, this scarlet worm, is something which is indeed not a min tummy. It comes from these particles which surround the worm, not from the worm itself. Okay, that's the Toilas Shoni sorted out, answered, it's not the worm itself, it's some little particle surrounding it. But we still haven't come to the Chilozin. What are we going to do with the Chilozin? Chilozin is a big problem over here. So, this is actually discussed.
And I use it in the base that we have.
Yeah. Trelis. Trelis is from the Chilozin. So the same way the Trelis and the Titzis, also Trelis from, it's the same Trelis. There's another whole interesting discussion. Where did they get it from in the Midbar? Right, because the Gemara says it's Oilem in Hayam. It's something that comes up from the sea, after the Shivim Shom. Where did they get it from in the Midbar? That's a different question. But how can they use it in the Melechus HaMishkan if you're going to go with Rabbeinu Bachai, who says that one can only use a Dovah Torah? So there is one suggestion over here from the son of the Noida B'Yehuda. In the Chuvos Noida B'Yehuda, there are some Chuvos which were written by his son. He discusses this matter. Toich Devarav, he comes up with one suggestion where he wishes to suggest as follows. That maybe the entire klal that one can only use in Melechus Shomayim, something which comes from a Dovah Torah, is only applicable to something which is the mitzvah item itself. But something which is used simply to dye wool. In that, there is no klal of you can only use the Melechus Shomayim a Dovah Torah. Since it doesn't stand b'nei atzmi, it's simply a topil to something else, to color it. And furthermore, Chazal also used the expression Chazus Alav Milsa. Something which is simply to color is not considered to anymore have independent existence. It's just become the coloration of something else. On that, there is no klal of only being permitted to use the Melechus Shomayim a Dovah Torah. It's a big chiddush, and it doesn't fit so well into Rabbeinu Bachai himself. It needs further discussion, but that is a possible approach, possible answer to this problem. Okay, let's just come now to a couple of slightly more lamaitadika applications of this general discussion. One point coming back to the shofar, and one other point. So coming back to the shofar, we said that one doesn't use a shofar for a dovah tomei. To be choshish for this sound, that one cannot use a dovah tomei in any mitzvah procedure. The Mishnah Berurah tells us, the Maaseh, that this is simply a chashash. In other words, we choshish l'chumrah. So if a person only has a shofar from a Dovah Tomei, he doesn't have any other shofar. That's the only shofar he's got. He's stuck somewhere, and this is the shofar he has. A shofar from a Dovah Tomei. Says Mishnah Berurah, we choshish l'chumra that it's not a good shofar, but maybe it is a good shofar. So you blow the shofar without a bracha. Can't make a bracha because maybe it's not a kosher shofar. You blow the shofar without a bracha. And if later on in the day you get another shofar that comes from a davar tohu, then you blow the shofar again without a bracha, because maybe you were yotzei the first time.
Interesting that you're not having a shofar. Maybe to blow is like to be a kilon yontov because it's not a shofar. Maybe a sound from these instruments, not from the mitzvah, could be a kilon yontov.
Yeah, interesting. So as we say, any sort of involvement which is the shame of human mitzvah, even if there's a possibility that it doesn't work, is all bichlal mehet. Now what about items used in a Beit HaKnesset? The final point. There is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that one doesn't use certain items that one would not use for a korban. One also doesn't use them in a Beit HaKnesset. For example, says the Shulchan Aruch, we know there's a law in the Torah not to accept the payment that was given to a zoyda, a payment that was given for znus. One does not accept it as a korban in the Beit HaMikdash. It's most for use in the Beit HaMikdash. Payment that was given to a zoyda cannot be accepted as a korban in the Beit HaMikdash. In the same way, right, the Shulchan Aruch, payment that was given to a zoyda cannot be accepted for use in a Beit HaKnesset. We compare the halachas of use in the Beit HaKnesset to the halachas of use in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay. Based upon this, ask the Chasam Sofer for the Gekasha. He says, I understand this to mean that it is a general klal. Items one does not use in the Beit HaMikdash, we do not use them in our Beit HaKnesset. I don't understand. How is it that we make, exactly, how is it that we make items to beautify the Beit HaKnesset out of silk? He calls it Eich Motzonu Yodenu V'Ragleinu. It's the term that we use for a very common practice that's done the whole time. Everybody does it without giving it a second thought, to use items of silk in covered of the Beit HaKnesset. He mentions it being used for the poroches, it's used for cover the Sefer Torah, all sorts of items to cover the Beit HaKnesset out of silk. He says, how do we do it? If Beit HaKnesset is comparable to Beit HaMikdash, like in Beit HaMikdash, we need min hamutar lepicha, we need that which is permitted to eat, lehutalim lechas shamayim and adon of tohri, so the same thing in the shul. He finds it a big kasha. The only thing he can think of, he says, is that since we have noted that in fact, as we began at the beginning of the shiur, it's a machlokes rishonim in the first place. Not everybody agrees that there was such a klal, even in the Beit HaMikdash itself. We said it's a machlokes to the Rebbe Bachai and the Rashba. The Rashba says there's no such klal that you can't use a davar tomei in the Beit HaMikdash. It's a machlokes, even in the Mishkan itself it's a machlokes. And this comparison, this extension from a Beis HaMikdash to Beis HaKnesset, says the Chasam Sofer, is certainly only a din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraita that the Beis HaKnesset has the same din as the Beis HaMikdash. It's a din d'rabbanan to apply all the same halachos of sort of covenant of the Beis HaMikdash to the Beis HaKnesset as well. It's an extension of the d'rabbanan. So in the extension of the d'rabbanan, we certainly don't have to be machmir for all the different opinions, and therefore we can use a davar tomei. Even though Rabbeinu Bachai says you couldn't use it in the Beit HaMikdash, but we can use it in the Beit HaKnesset. Because in the Beit HaKnesset, it's only a din d'rabbanan, and we can rely on the
Bachai. I don't know if you remember,
yeah.
When I was growing up, a lot of people in shul wore these
talit. Sort of talit.
You know, yeah, that's
an urban issue.
Yeah,
I've heard it so much, but
in England, for sure, it was common.
Yeah, yeah. With more English shuls, yeah. That just fascinatingly, let's just conclude. The exact same question was asked by the Chasam Sofer. It's also asked by the Torah Tamimah. Torah Tamimah also asked this question: that how is it that we use silk for poroches to cover sefer Torah? And we consider it a hero. He says it's It's a beautiful, very nice material, it's very shade. For who? Pele, he asks. He calls it a Pele, he says he doesn't understand. Said the Torah Shmuba, I want to suggest a big kiddush. He says, very interesting thing. Why is it that we've heard of this cloud floating around in various places, but kind of use the Dovah Tomei for the mitzvah? And there's some places where it doesn't seem to be an issue. Says, for example, nobody's ever heard of it being a problem to use a Dovah Tomei, let's say, for the walls of a sukkah. In fact, I think it's maybe even not the Torah in the Gemara that you can. What? My heart. Says the Torah Shmuba, I want to suggest to you this. The entire halakha that one cannot use a Dovah Tomei only springs up in situations where the requirement is to use Baal Chai. The requirement is bedafka to use something that comes from a Baal Chai. When it comes from, it has to come from Baal Chai, so then choose a Baal Chai which is Tomei, which is Tohir, not a Baal Chai that's Tomei. But where does that come from Baal Chai? It can just as well come from Doimim, from Semea, from anything you want. In that, there is no halacha that it cannot come from a Dovah Tomei. Because it comes from a Dovah Tomei, exactly. It's no worse than coming from a Dovah from a Tomei. Anyway, it doesn't come from Divrei Dvar Achila. And then maybe he says there is no restriction at all on using it for these items in the Beit HaKnesses, because these items in the Beit HaKnesses can come from whatever you want. There's no requirement they should come from a Baal Chai. So over there, this whole Tal is not applicable. That's what he wishes to suggest. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Wish you all a good day.